How many people in an organization ought to be involved in sales? I agree. Every single one of them. If we create a sales culture where everybody in the organization realizes that if sales are not made, people don't get paid. That wouldn't be bad to put up on a wall, would it? If sales are not made, people don't get paid. If that doesn't happen, then everybody has a reason to be concerned. But people say, wait, whoa, I'm not a salesperson. I don't want to be involved in sales. That's not one of my strengths. Yeah, but everyone ought to contribute to the sales effort. Years ago, 1974, the October edition of Saturday Evening Post carried an article that was a summary of a speech given by Jim Levinson. Jim Levinson had become the new president of, or general manager of, the Plaza Hotel in New York. And his speech was titled, Think Strawberries. When he came into the organization, he wanted to get everybody in that entire hotel, in all departments, to think in terms of sales. And the way the word strawberries came into it was, he noticed that though many times the dessert cart was waved away in the restaurant at the end of a meal, if you would offer the people strawberries, they'd almost invariably say yes. And so he said, think strawberries. When you go out there to serve someone a meal, at the end of the meal, instead of just bringing the dessert cart around, bring the dessert cart around and then say, would you like some fresh strawberries? And people will increase their orders. And then he started looking at other departments. What could we do at the front desk? Think strawberries. What's a little added extra? What could we do throughout the hotel? He put name badges on people, which was unpopular at first, but after a while they got used to it. And as customers could see their names, they would greet them by name, and then people started greeting each other by name. And throughout the entire hotel, they thought about how they could add the strawberry effect, that little extra at the end of each of the experiences that the customer had. For example, on reservations, if you'd call reservations back then, and you'd say, what's the difference between your $200 room and your $400 room? The people would say, that's correct, $200. He said, these people don't know the difference. So he had the people who worked in the hotel in all the departments, had them come and stay in the hotel. A few each day would stay in the hotel, and they would get the experiences that the guests had received. And they'd understand the difference in a $200 room, $400 room, room with a view, a room without, a room with a suite, and a room with just, you know, the single bedroom. As they understood that, as they started seeing the movies that were on TV and they knew to talk about those, he was showing those in the lunchroom, he managed every part of the day. He found ways to give these people a sample of their own product in as many ways as they could so that everyone in the hotel contributed to the sales effort. And what happened? Sales went through the roof. Everybody was recommending the hotel to their friends. They were saying, hey, I've got an acquaintance who's going to get married soon and they're going to hold their wedding somewhere special. I told them they should come here. Here's their card. You know, things like that started happening. So if you and I think strawberries, if we take that concept and we apply it to our own business and get everyone in the organization involved in sales, even if they're not selling, if they think, how can I help lend energy to the sales effort? If we can do that, then the amount of effort required from you and me is not quite as critical. We're able to relax our grip occasionally, but we've still got to stay on top of things. So if you want an organization to be excellent, it requires strong relationships, high standards, and constant communication. Everyone in the organization needs to know what we have to offer, why it matters, and what standards we are holding to. Because our quality is the determining factor in us being the same as everybody else or us being quite different from everybody else. So think strawberries. How could I, at the end of each experience a customer has with us, add a little extra suggestion, a little extra taste of how much better things could be? Stay tuned. The Purpose of Selling will be right back. Generating a sales culture involves two groups of people, your inner circle and your outer circle. Inner circle, of course, is the people that work within the organization. Those are your coworkers in all the departments, not just in your department. And certainly not just in the sales or customer service departments. The people in accounting, the people in manufacturing, all those people are involved in the overall effort. So if you're going to generate a stronger sales culture, what you've got to do is involve everybody in understanding how what they do contributes to the overall sales effort. Because when you think about it, in the ultimate scheme of things, if no one buys, very few people eat. You know, if no one buys, then all the other departments become simply process departments, and after a short while, they have to stop doing it because we're not being paid. So everything needs to be generating sales in one way or another, even the reporting we do, just the paperwork. That paperwork needs to make it easier for someone else to do what they need to do so that we ultimately get a sale. Okay, inner circle. Inner circle is the people that work within the organization. So we ought to have orientations. We ought to tell stories. We ought to frequently have the salespeople and the customer service people inform all the rest of our team how it's working. Tell a story about how our product solved a problem, how our service filled a need, how one of our people made a difference for somebody, how being a customer of ours made someone else's world a little bit brighter, a little bit happier, a little bit more pleasant. So we need to sell ourselves constantly, continually, on how important it is that we're doing what we do. Because when you find meaning in what you do, you will add more value to how you do it. Okay? Now, externally, we also have a group of people that we need to get oriented to this sales culture. Our customers, our non-buyers, people that would have been a customer but chose not to be. They've already entered the pipeline and started the progression from being a stranger to being one who sampled and understood our product or service and moving toward becoming a loyal customer. The fact that they haven't bought doesn't mean we should discard them. It just simply means they haven't bought yet, so we should stay in touch with them. We should intentionally form the mindset that we want about us in the minds of our competitors. See, we ought to think about everybody as being part of our overall society, so to speak, our public. And one of those groups of people is people you didn't hire, people who applied for a job, understood the organization, met some of the people, saw some of the products and services, but didn't get hired. Stay in touch with them. Consider them a referral source. Consider them a potential customer even. Now, it's not necessarily their role to generate sales or to give us referrals, but it could happen. If we're intentional enough about it, everything will come together quite nicely, okay? So, thinking about what is their role, you know, what is it they're paid to do, the internal and the external? What they're paid to do is contribute to the overall good, okay? Now, people need to know if they're going to make a contribution, they need to know what the costs are. They need to know what the margins are. Not just how much gross revenue is generated, but what's the net that's left. I had a salesperson work for me years ago, and he would talk with me all the time about how much he had sold. And he'd always quote the gross dollars. I sold $1,000 worth. Well, we might have only netted $200 on that sale, but to him it was a $1,000 sale. And I wanted him to think net. So one day I went on the road for several cities of touring as, you know, doing speeches at conventions. And I mailed him a hair net. And the next day I mailed him a little fish net for an aquarium. And the next day I mailed him a big fish net that I'd bought at a sporting goods store. And then the next day I mailed him a photograph of a disgusting picture, and I put a sticky note on it that said, "This is gross." When I got back to the office, he said, "What's your point?" I said, "I want you to think net, not gross. Don't think about the general dollars you are bringing in here. Think about the net dollars we get to keep. That's the value of each sale." So if people recognize what the margins are and they recognize what the actual profit is on something, they know how to make a decision about what to do or not do. They know when they're operating outside of the realm of intelligent and inside the realm of intelligent. Stay tuned. The Purpose of Selling will be right back. There's an interesting element in psychology. Seems like a contradiction at first. people will feel more indebted to you if they help you than they will if you help them. You might say, wait, no, if you help them, they'll feel indebted and feel like they should pay you back. But interestingly, what actually takes place is they feel more strongly indebted to you if they've already helped you. There's a book I read years ago called Self-Creation, and in it, the Self-Creation Principle by Dr. George Weinberg was every time you act, you strengthen the thinking that accompanies that act. So if you help someone, you feel indebted to them. Well, what does that have to do with the sales culture? The more we can involve people in helping in the sales effort, the more they will feel connected with the sales effort. Does that make sense? So we think like a political campaigner would think. A political campaigner doesn't require that you feel like voting for their candidate. They want you involved anyway. Go put out signs. Go stuff envelopes. Go help with anything because they know if you're involved in the campaign, you'll start listening to their candidate more. If you listen to the candidate more, you'll be more likely to recommend the candidate and ultimately vote for the candidate. So looking in your own organization, how can you get people more involved in the sales effort? Well, start where you are. In other words, look at your inner circle of relationships. Every person has a group of people through whom they get their results. Though much of our work is done solo, it's in actuality connected to a lot of other people and goes through them to someone else. So who is it that's on your team? Who is it that you get your results through? It could be anywhere from 3 to maybe as many as 12 people, but it's doubtful that it would be any more than that. Write down the names of all the people in your inner circle and then examine each one to see how you stand in the 3 essentials for a healthy relationship. The 3 essentials for a healthy relationship come from the marriage enrichment work that was done years ago by Drs. David and Vera Mace. But the concept is this. In any relationship, business relationship, sales, management, even parenting, certainly a couple's relationship or a partnership, the 3 essentials are both parties must be committed to the success of the relationship. If one cares about it and the other one doesn't, the relationship's in danger. Okay? Second, there must be open communication. The truth must travel freely. And if it's bad news, it needs to travel rapidly. Bill Gates, in his book Business at the Speed of Thought, said bad news must travel fast. And the reason for that, of course, is because if there's bad news, you want to be able to deal with it as quickly as possible before it becomes disastrous news, right? So open communication is number 2. Number 3, clear agreements. So your agreements, what you agree to, the standards you agree to, the guidelines you agree to, the policies that you embrace, those are what allow you to resolve conflicts and to work effectively together. So look at all of your inner circle relationships and examine each one for those 3 essentials. Are we both committed to make the relationship work? Is there open communication where we tell each other the truth all the time? And do we have clear agreements as to what I expect from them and what they expect from me? And as you look over your list of people and you look at the 3 essentials, whichever of those 3 essentials is missing represents your homework in enhancing that relationship and getting that person to be more committed to and involved in the sales effort. So looking at the sales effort, how do people add to it? For example, if someone processes the contracts, how can they add to the sales effort? Well, one thing they could do is help prepare the contract materials so that the material, the information you already know, is in there already. Instead of wasting time face-to-face with the customer or putting the customer to additional difficulty, having them fill in a lot of material that you already, or a lot of information you already have, do that at the office or have someone that can help you by doing that in advance. Also, have someone go to the customer's website in advance, check out the various aspects of the company, and capture the product names, the buzzwords, the department names, the service trademarks, and things like that that you need to keep in mind during that sales contact so that you've got a little crib sheet you can look at and you can refresh your memory before you go in. See, it's not so much important just what's in your mind back in the files. What's really important is what's on your desktop in the front of your awareness. So if you have people aiding your awareness, you can be more effective as a salesperson. Years ago, I flew into Toronto to give a speech, and a colleague of mine, a good friend, Peter Erzbender, met me at the airport, and he drove me to my hotel, and he said, I'm not going to go in the hotel. I just wanted to greet you and welcome you to Toronto. He said, but I have something for you, and he gave me a sheet of paper. And I looked at it. He knew I was going to give a speech to about 1,000 people the next day. And I looked at this sheet, and it says Toronto, Indian word for meeting place, population. And it had the population. Then it had other key facts about Toronto. And then it had notable personalities in the Toronto area. And he had just gone through and kind of given me a summary of everything interesting about Toronto that I might be expected to know or might surprise people that I knew and that I might be able to work into my speech. And sure enough, the next day I did that. And that little gesture of his was a wonderful piece of generosity, but it also allowed me to come across as caring more about the audience that day and allowed me to be a much more effective, in that case, salesperson than I might have been otherwise. So think about how can you get every person enlisted in the sales effort? Stay tuned. The Purpose of Selling will be right back. To enlist people in the sales effort, what you want is their full involvement. Not just token compliance. Okay, I'll help. You want commitment. You want their full cooperation. What you want to access is not just their energy, but their creativity. So you want the discretionary effort, the effort that they don't have to give, but they could give, because that's where the real richness is. That's where the magic can be found, in the discretionary efforts. Years ago, I saw an article in Training and Development magazine, and the article was titled, Employees Are Not Encouraged to Go the Extra Mile. And in this article, it said that they had done a rather extensive study on what it was that caused people to give more than was expected or required. And interestingly enough, out of the 1,563 people they studied, what encouraged voluntary effort was being responsible for the outcomes of their work, having a sense of worth in what they were doing, getting acknowledgement or recognition for it, being able to use their full range of skills, being encouraged to challenge the organization to suggest new ways, being able to develop more skills, good working relationship with their manager, and then finally, compensation. Now think about that. A lot of people would say, yeah, if you pay extra, you get more. Well, okay, but only to a point. What happens is when people feel there's meaning in it, when they feel like I'm responsible for this, I'm connected to it, I count, they give more. Now, years ago when Walt Disney had the vision of creating Disney World in Florida, it said that one of the things he did in preparation for that huge project was he brought in all the construction workers and their families and had a huge picnic and allowed all these people to see the vision so that they weren't just coming to work to build a wall. They were coming to work to create the happiest place on earth. And they saw it, and their families saw it. And of course, you know, he had Mickey Mouse and all the other Disney characters there in costume to play with the kids and to make it fun for the parents. And this picnic experience sort of cemented the commitment of the people that were working on the project, and they had much less in the way of construction delays or union problems or, you know, the usual things that a lot of construction, huge construction projects involve. So get people involved. Get everybody. Sell the vision. You know, tell them your dream. Tell the story and keep telling the story. Keep that flag visible if you want anybody to salute it. Say, we've got to make it obvious that we stand for something, that our product is here to do a specific thing that has value to people, that our service brings people something they wouldn't have gotten as well in any other form. So we need to thank people constantly. We need to appreciate everything they do, because if we don't, then they'll get the sense nobody cares and things will tend to fall apart. And we need to use all our strength. My friend, the late Og Mandino, author of the book, The Greatest Salesman in the World, in a speech one time told the story of a little boy whose bicycle had been trapped under a tree by a storm the night before. And the boy was out in the backyard trying to pull the bicycle from under the tree, and he couldn't budge the bicycle. And his father came out and said, "What are you doing?" He told him. And he said, "Well, use all your strength." And the boy pulled harder, and he couldn't get the bicycle loose. And his dad said, "Come on, son, use all your strength." And he put his feet into the ground, and he put his back into it and pulled as hard as he could pull. The bicycle didn't move. Finally, he turned around to his dad, and he was almost in tears. And he said, "Dad, I'm using all my strength, and I can't get the bicycle out from under the tree." And his dad said, "Son, you're not using all your strength." And the son almost cried. He said, "Yes, I am, Dad." And Dad said, "No, you haven't asked me to help." See, our strength doesn't lie just within us. It lies within everybody we care about and everybody who cares about us and everybody who has a common interest in the success of what we're doing. If you want to create a sales culture, if you want to enlist and enroll everybody in the sales process, then we've got to tell the stories. We've got to sell the vision. We've got to show people we appreciate them and that they matter.